Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I can't believe it's Friday. Friday, right?
Days have no meaning.
I don't even know what's going on. Lots of stuff this week. Did you see that there's a rumor that the over-ear AirPod Studio things might actually come out next week?
Yes, the Christmas surprise.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I can kind of believe it. Like, I'm not 100% willing to discount that. It seems unusual, but 2020 is an unusual year. It would not be the strangest thing to happen by far. So plausible.
Yeah, I got I think it was a tweet Mike and I got when we were talking about this, because Mike was like, I don't know, they could surprise us in December. And this tweet authoritatively stated, as people on the internet often do, well, you know that won't happen because they've already released their holiday guide.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that you're right. The holiday guide is like
that's,
the Constitution.
That's the canonical.
Apple cannot deviate from that rule that Apple itself made up and could change at any time if it wanted to. Yeah. Again, I am always amazed. The thing that amazes me the most, I think, about people who talk about Apple is how you can simultaneously think that Apple can do almost anything and also think that Apple is completely constrained by some small thing that Apple itself controls. No, Apple does what it wants.
Cannot break the rules that they created.
That they created themselves. That's right. That's right.
They don't make the rules, they just enforce them.
Yeah, that's right. Like the App Store rules, right? Like,
that's right. That's right. Can't do anything about them.
Nope.
The stone tablets, they were handed down.
By ourselves to us.
Yep, by ourselves to ourselves and, you know, chiseling new tablets. It takes time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Phil Schiller handed those down. And,
that's right.
And who's in charge now of that App Store? Oh, it's Phil Schiller.
Phil Schiller. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. Whoops.
Right. Interesting. So we'll see about that. The wave of new Apple products. That we thought had finished. There's like an undertow or something, maybe, possibly.
Possibly.
But I know people are excited about
that. We agree. Nothing could happen.
I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, over-ear headphones are not for me, but I think the idea of an Apple-branded, not Beats-branded thing that uses all the kind of AirPods tech, you know, there are some Beats headphones that do that, but I think that would be a popular product, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's funny. I have a couple weeks back, I have a pair of the Bose noise canceling headphones, which I had used for several years until I switched to the AirPods Pro for most of my usage, and I had them around, you know, just because I occasionally use them as a backup, or sometimes they're just more comfortable to wear, and I wasn't really using them, but I noticed that my devices kept pairing to him, and I was like, "What is going on?" And so I discovered that it was turning themselves on. In the drawer, and then pairing with one of my iOS devices, which was infuriating.
Huh.
And then they would eventually the battery would just run down and they would die. And so I did some searching around and discovered this is not an uncommon problem with this model of headphones, because apparently there's just the switch fails, like the on-off switch fails. And it fails in such a way that it turns them on, which is weird. And so I made a stink about it to Bose, and they're like, oh, yeah, send them back. So I packaged them up and sent them off. And, of course, they sent me a new version, and it was the newer model, because the model I had been discontinued.
Right.
I was like, oh, this is great. They are in the shrink wrap box still on my drawer over here, because I never use them anymore, because I use the AirPods Pro for everything. And so
sell those on
I'm
eBay.
Sure I'll get around to it. Yeah, I thought about it. I was like, they are pristine in box. The one reason I would hold on to them is Bose made a version of these headphones in the last 6 months or so where it has a boom mic that attaches.
Yeah.
And you can use them as gaming headphones.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, they would be much better than my current gaming headphones. Ah. But you can't buy just the boom mic currently. Oh. You have to buy it as a package. So I'm like, I'll hold on to them for a few months. See if that changes, and you never know. I might need a backup pair, or my wife might need a pair for something, and you know, whatever. It's fine. They're free headphones,
right?
So, but it's funny to me that I have become such an AirPods Pro convert.
Yeah,
that
me too.
I rarely use anything else.
Me too. I never thought I'd see the day. I was so skeptical, even of the original AirPods, and then I like the original AirPods, but there's a whole category of things that Julian is using my old Sony over the ear headphones now. And it's very funny because I bought those right to take our trip to Hawaii. It was right before the AirPods Pro came out. And as soon as they came out, I was I'm not ever going to wear those again because I wanted it for the noise canceling.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was Apple's not going to be able to. Oh, they did. They did. They made very good, very usable noise canceling headphones that work on planes. Not that I've been on a plane in a while, but they did back when I did, when I mowed the lawn. And I use them everywhere now. And I use them when I run and I just turn on transparency when I'm running.
Right. Yeah. I bought the Bose set when I went to India, figuring long plane trip, et cetera. And they were great in India. I used them constantly because I would go to coffee shops and I would work. And
that was 4 years ago, Dan.
Yeah, I know. I know. Blows my mind to think about it. But yeah, it is amazing how much they've changed and how much I take for granted things like when I put on headphones. So for example, aside from right now, I am using Sony over-the-ear headphones because I'm podcasting. But other than that, it is weird when I put on a pair of heavier headphones and I'm like, why are these so big? Why? Because honestly, yes, you notice you're wearing the AirPods because they stick in your ear and you notice that, but they are so light that they feel like they are not there at all. And it's kind of incredible, I have to say. I know you and Mike were talking, last week, 2 weeks ago, a while back, about what's your favorite pro product, of the lineups. And I think Mike said the AirPods Pro, and I was like, yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think that is my favorite of all the pro products right now, or certainly the one I use the most.
Yeah, I'm surprised, but they really have done a great job with it. And that's why I even though it's not for me, I think that they would have a huge hit. And people who follow Apple closely are like, yeah, but there's Beats, so what they don't really need to do. And it's like, well, they don't. But at the same time, if there's Apple branded, that makes a difference. Apple is a better brand than Beats. I know Apple owns Beats and markets it and all of that, but Apple is a better brand than Beats because Apple is a better brand than any other brand, essentially. And AirPods is also successful. And there are how many people have looked at AirPods and been like, well, nah, they're not for me because I need over the ear headphones. And they're like, guess what? We have those now too. So yeah, I think it'll be a hit. My skepticism has dried up because of the success that they've had with AirPods. They've just done such a good job with them.
And you mentioned the Beats thing. And my wife has a pair of the Beats X, which they've now discontinued. They recently discontinued.
Those are the ones that have the cord between the two headsets?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's honestly, they're kind of terrible. They've broken several times, and that's the thing is part of me wonders if the reason that Apple has not yet entirely subsumed the Beats lineup, it gives them an opportunity to do stuff that does not fit quite within the Apple brand, but B, it also lets them slightly distance themselves from things like that because I do feel that the Beats products that I have seen are not generally as reliable. And that's not to say Apple products don't have problems at times. I had to replace one of my AirPods just a couple weeks ago as well because it had the rattling thing going on. But the Beats ones have been... she's gone through two pairs of them. And right now she keeps meaning to replace the pair she has now, which have also died. And I think she got Apple Care on them this time though. It's just been a... I'm not going to a store to replace them and I'm just being lazy about, replacing them. I'll get around to it, but it's not a high priority right now. So who knows? We'll see. It'll be interesting to see as Apple shifts more, maybe more stuff towards its own brand there too.
Right.
Sorry, Dr. Dre.
Yeah. He's got his money. He doesn't care. I was actually just looking back at the history of the Secret Podcast for those who are the Six Colors Podcast now. It was the Secret Podcast back before. I don't know why we kept it a secret. It's a member benefit. It's dumb. It should be. It's not public. It's members only. But anyway, you all get it because you're a member. You get it. And 4 years ago in 2016, there are, and I love these, there are two episodes of the podcast that are dated because, we don't have titles for our episodes. It's just the date. Because this is a very minimalist podcast from the beginning when we just started it accidentally and then it turned into a regular thing. But there's one that is November 16th and 17th, 2016. And my favorite, November 30th, December 1st, 2016. And the description of that is, the podcast so great it was recorded in two different months simultaneously. Because you were a day ahead in India when we recorded those episodes.
Yes. Yeah, the podcast timing was always very weird because India is 10 and a half off from Boston. So yes. 13 and a half off. Yeah. From California, yeah.
So I think we did those. Yeah. I think we did those with my night, and well, I mean, because of the dates. Yes, I did those at night at like 8 or 9 at night, and it was morning in Mumbai where you were. For those who weren't listening back then, Dan's then girlfriend, now wife, did a year working in Mumbai.
Only 6 months,
or 6 months, and you went for what? 2 months? 3 months?
Six weeks.
Six weeks is all. Well, that explains why there are only the two-day episodes of the Six Colors podcast, but yes, it was a good time.
It's funny how the photos widget, which I do have on my home screen, one of my home screens, pops up things from random times, and definitely I've seen a lot of things from India pop up in recent weeks and thinking, oh yeah, that was an experience.
Yeah. So also, not just completely accidentally, but now I'm going to declare this our anniversary episode. This is the fifth anniversary of the Six Colors podcast.
Wow. Really?
December 1st, 2015 was our first episode.
December 1st, 2015. So that was like a year after the site started, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but membership didn't start right away.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It didn't start membership right away. And then there was this sort of thought of how we're going to do this and could we do a podcast? And I don't know what we were thinking, but 5 years later, here we are. So
here we are. We're still here.
We're still here with however many hundreds of episodes it's been. But yeah.
I declare it a success, Jason.
People say they like this podcast, Dan. They say they like it because I've heard people say that they like it because it's a great podcast. I've heard people say they like it because it's not like a podcast. I don't know what any of that means.
Sure.
I will just tell you.
Covered all the ground there.
I enjoy talking to you, and I enjoy talking about the stuff we talk about, and I enjoy doing a podcast without any show notes of any kind.
No, it's nice. It's a conversation. It's a conversation that people get to eavesdrop on, and I think people like that aspect about podcasting, right? It's the whole thing we talk about where people feel like podcasters are their friends, and it's like, yeah, I get it. I mean, especially when it's just two people having kind of an off-the-cuff chat, I can understand why that's something that people enjoy, especially if it's people whose work they like. I kind of think on the same like side of things is like, this is the podcast you would definitely tell nobody to start ever. Like, yeah, just do a podcast with two people talking about random stuff.
Yeah,
that's not a good idea, but I guess we made it work.
Yeah, well, and we are collaborating on a website about Apple and other technology stuff.
It's a little narrower than that.
It's a little bit like our weekly check-in.
Yes,
but we recorded it and make it available to paying customers because you got to use all parts of the buffalo.
To be fair, we did it. There was a time when we had like a weekly meeting very early on in Six Colors history.
You and
I
would have,
because I remember we had like it on the calendar and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, at a certain point, we were just like, this, why are we doing this?
I think because we were very lonely and had lost our jobs.
Yes.
And so we decided we would
And we were used to that, right? Like at work.
Oh,
when
man.
We were at Macworld, we had a weekly meeting.
All I did was meetings.
Yes. Well, that's because that's your fault. You got too big.
I was miserable and hated everything.
You forgot to take into account the advice of Jim Kirk. Never do anything that makes them take you off the bridge of that starship, right?
Yeah, like exactly. Exactly.
That's
I posted on Monday, 20 Max for 2020, number 5.
In the final stretch.
And that's what I wanted to talk about. I know I've mentioned it before, but like, I was, in hindsight, so smart to have gotten way ahead with the project, because now I'm not. And I'm feeling it every week. But that was the what happened was I started writing these essays in December or January.
Right.
March comes around, you know, everything is awful. And I sort of stopped. But I had a bunch in the can, and then I finally realized I need to start this process, and because I'm gonna run out of I was only gonna have 20 weeks left. Mm-hmm. It turns out I started the project with 22 weeks left, so I had 2 weeks to give, and I gave them both, and I have no more to give. And I ate through all of the stuff that I had done in advance, and so as of last week, with number 6, I am producing them at the podcast video, and we already shot the video, and I already recorded all the podcast stuff, but I'm producing, I'm editing all of that the podcast, the video, and the writing the essays every week, I am not ahead at all. And it is a lot.
you're flying by the seat of your pants.
And yep. It's a lot, and I'll be happy when it's over. It actually makes me really grateful to my past self, who spent all of that time writing like the first 9 or 10 essays in January and February, when I had no plans to immediately release them, and I just put them, I stocked them away, because that is the way to do that, is what I'm saying. That's the way to do that. Although it has been really interesting, and since this whole project has been a creative challenge for me, that's one of the things about it. It has been really interesting to get 1 week where all I am doing is that topic, because mm-hmm. you end up with a lot more kind of flow between the topics than you might normally. Like I wrote, I was working on next week's, obviously, number 4, and I wrote the essay, and then I started working on the podcast script, and it's totally different from the essay, even though mm-hmm. I lifted some stuff from the essay. And then I get to the end of the podcast script, and I go back to the essay and I add some stuff in, because I'm like, I should probably mention that is this whole big thing in the podcast, and I didn't mention it all in the essay. So they kind of feed each other in a way that they didn't in the ones that were pre-written.
It's a multimedia extravaganza.
It is. That was my decision. And
transmedia?
It just made it a lot harder. But yeah, sure. I think more fulfilling and more interesting than if it was just 20,000 word essays about computers.
And then you just read them aloud, right? Like you just literally narrated what you had written, right?
I mean,
like that would be.
I would. I don't think I would have even done that. But yeah, you're right. That would have been or
one way to go. But yeah,
or have what I did is ultimately is the video. It's funny. Yeah. Anyway, I've talked about it a bit, but the video turned out to be the most podcast like thing that we did, because it's just me and Stephen Hackett talking about computers. Where originally I was thinking those would be really short, and they would essentially just be kind of photos of the product with a description of them, and then it turned into something completely different, and the podcast is something completely different, and then the essays are what they are. They're always sort of what I intended them to be. So anyway, it's a grind. I now know how much time it takes to do each of those things, and there's a reason that my output on other stuff, that plus having reviewed all those things, I have done very little other than 20 Macs for 2020 and reviewing Apple products for the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks. So
yeah, we had that constant open faucet of Apple announcements and products, which kept us going for a little while there. And I definitely, as I expressed to you yesterday, as I was thinking about my Macworld column for next week, I was like, I don't have a framework right now. I feel like all of a sudden I don't have anything to write about, because we had this very reliable supply there for a little bit. But it's been, it's fine. But it's nice to, it's nice to have something to break things up a little bit, but at the same time, it's great when Apple makes it easy for us to come up with ideas or have thoughts about things, because things are happening.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about here? I don't know. I wrote about Windows on M1, which is just it's one of those things where Apple went from being not talking about it. Hey, virtualization is going to happen on Apple Silicon at WWDC. And look, here's a thing from VMware showing Linux. Anyway, moving on, right? sort of saying more recently, it's in Microsoft's court, basically, if you want to run Windows. Like, Microsoft's going to have to make that happen, which was an interesting change. And now we've got this spate of things, and this is what I linked to this week, where there are people who are taking open source emulators like QEMU and they are making changes to it and downloading like Windows on ARM beta builds from the Microsoft site and getting it to run. And so it's very clear now, like there are no technical reasons why Windows won't run on Apple Silicon. And in fact, the ARM version of Windows, which has its own translation for x86 stuff, like, it's just a matter of time now. I feel like my gut feeling is it's just a matter of the fact that Windows has not, Microsoft has not come up with a strategy for how to do Windows on ARM anywhere but bundled with the few ARM Windows computers that are out there. And that for this, they'll need to do that, because you'll need to buy a Windows license for ARM somehow to install it on a virtual machine on a Mac. But I think that's what's holding it up at this point, it seems to me, which is good. It's good news, right? Because that's one of those missing pieces of, like, what about this on ARM Macs? And the answer seems to be it's not going to be a problem in the long run. It may take a few months or even a year for everything to kind of settle out, but it's clearly doable, so it'll happen.
Right. Yeah. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. It's like there really isn't a technical limitation. There was an interesting story going around last week or something where somebody asked Linus Torvalds about, like, running Linux on, yeah. I think, directly on, essentially, or, like, booting into Linux rather than virtualization. And his thought was he said it wasn't going to happen, and he had a rationale for that. And I was like, that seems not right. But it had to do with essentially how easy is it for somebody writing the, you know, an open source operating system to get access to some of the stuff on Apple's side that's more proprietary and might be harder to reverse engineer. Which is fair. I mean, there are security things locking stuff down. I would never say never, because I think that the people who develop that kind of stuff tend to be extremely resourceful and often find ways around those types of obstacles. But it does seem like, you know, I mean, granted, you can run Linux on like a toaster or something, so probably plays Doom too. So I don't see why they wouldn't be able to at least get it running, perhaps not optimally, but running in some way. So I think, given the fact that Windows does seem to have done the heavy lifting on this side in terms of already writing their OS for ARM processors, it seems like any other subsequent problems are probably pretty minor in terms of jumping over them. You just got to decide to do them.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll happen. Yeah. Yeah. Linus Torvalds said something like, well, I won't do it because I won't use any computer that I can't just boot directly into Linux. Like, whatever, dude. If I wrote in my own operating system and had it named for me, I would have that opinion too.
Yeah, sure.
It's valid for one and whatever. But, you know, it's all, I think it's remarkable that things are as far along with Apple Silicon as they are. Like, mm-hmm. I know that there are still going to be some outlier cases. Gruber wrote a piece about this hilarious kind of FUD piece that's like, you made the contrarian piece. It's like, but you should maybe not go to Apple Silicon yet because of scary. And he's right. It's a bad piece.
It's a bad piece. It's throwing out arguments that have literally no basis in reality, just because they're repeating things that you feel like maybe you've heard and then extrapolating them into things that sound way worse than they actually are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true that there are some outliers, but they are true outliers. And so to say, like, you shouldn't buy one, it's such a general statement for something that is actually a very specific thing, which I think most reviewers got to and mentioned. I know I did, which is there are some very specific use cases where you shouldn't get one, because that stuff doesn't work yet. Like, if everything you do relies on Homebrew, it's not there yet. Although it'll be there soon for Big Sur, and it'll run in Rosetta, and then Apple Silicon will come and, like, they'll figure it out. And Windows is one of those. But, like, for most people, it's remarkable how not a big deal it is. So
yeah, I laugh.
It's going to happen
fast.
This.
Yeah, I laugh a little bit at this because it reminds me of earlier transitions. To my mind, the one that comes to I think of is the OS X transition, and how I think it was like the earliest version of that. Like the 10.0, I don't think there was a DVD player app or something. It's like, yeah, if you rely on your computer to play DVD, like, it's just, it was so much of a bigger gap, it felt like, at the time, in terms of stuff that didn't work yet. Now, granted, we use our computers for way more now than we did then, but even so, I felt like there was the jump from, you know, classic stuff to OS X stuff, because you had to run so much of it in the classic environment, and that was a whole pain and a very different kind of pain. Like, to me, that was kind of the pinnacle of, like, you can do all this stuff, but it's going to be hard and it's not quite going to work the way that you wanted to yet. Whereas, honestly, on the M1, it's like 90% of the stuff that you want to do is totally fine, and probably more than that for most people, because most people are not using, most people are using the same probably 100 or less than 100 apps, is my guess. And yeah, you might have one or two things that don't work quite right, but I have run into almost nothing. I finally did the Rogue Amoeba dance the other day, to install
the double
Audio
reboot.
Hijack, the double reboot. Nice. And it's like, yep, this is annoying, and it's a really cumbersome process, but it was fine. It was just annoying. But now it works, right? Like, it's not like that software doesn't work. It's just that it's more annoying to install than it used to be.
Yeah, and then it's fine after that.
It's fine, yeah. So it's, yeah, I agree. There's not, it has been a pretty smooth transition from my experience. I've run into very little that doesn't work in the expected way, and then even less that, like, I can't make work with a little bit of tweaking here and there. And within, you know, within 6 to 9 months, you know, as this transition is starting to wrap up, I think, you know, we're going to be much, much closer. So,
yeah, it's in pretty good shape. I've been editing all of my 20 Max or 2020 videos using my MacBook Air. Because the performance editing 4K video is so much better. It's shocking.
Yes. Yes.
Than my iMac Pro.
I've been yeah. using FCP on my MacBook Air for a project that I've been working on, and it's fine on my iMac. I'm not doing anything nearly as intensive. It's not 4K video, etc. But, like, even so, the exporting, like, stuff, I was just like, wow, this is so much faster. It got me to the point of, like, should I just export the parts of the project I'm working on my iMac over to my MacBook Air? I won't, because it's not that much of a big deal, but it definitely, yeah. That between that and having done a couple podcast edits on the M1, and you're just like, it really only becomes noticeable when you're exporting them, and you're like, wow, that took so much less time than it does on my, you know, for me, a 3-year-old iMac, but still a pretty good 3-year-old iMac, so... Yep, this iMac will probably have been my last Intel Mac purchase by the time I get around to replacing it in another few years, because I definitely will not buy, there's no other Mac for me to buy right now.
No.
And I certainly would not buy an Intel Mac for myself at this point.
No. Mm-mm. Let's see, my cat activated Expose, so that's exciting.
Ooh. Cat's pose.
There was a cat here for a while, and now she's gone.
Sure.
Kicked her off. But she did reach her paw out to my trackpad, seriously, and activate expose. So that was pretty good. I mean, it's just a swipe up, right? But it must have, like, detected her multiple pads on her paw to do that? I don't even know. I don't want to know how the cats use computers. Very carefully. I have a hardware update to give you.
Okay.
I bought... to try out and write about at some point this month, one of these backbone.
Oh yeah,
things.
I saw you mentioning that somewhere.
Where you turn, it turns an iPhone into like a Nintendo Switch, basically.
Yeah, Matthew Panzerino was really talking that up, because I think he had a pre-release.
Yeah, version. Yeah, that's where I saw it, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm interested in writing about that, and the hardware feels great. I am also working on my reviews of the iPhone 12 Pro Max and the iPhone 12 Mini. Mm-hmm. And that has also been hilarious, because you just, you know, you open this thing up and then put the iPhone in between the two sides of the controllers. And it works with both of them, but it's a very different experience.
Yeah, I would imagine.
With the large one and the little one. But it's a very cool idea to take to play iPhone games that have controller support and just drop a controller on either side of the iPhone, so that you end up with a, you know, a Nintendo Switch-esque, you know, portable gaming device with analog sticks and control buttons and shoulder buttons and everything.
Does it use like an existing API set, or does it require games built in specifically support for it?
It is any game with controller support. And
okay, so
it's
basically anything that works with like the Xbox controller or the...
It's a Lightning accessory. So it plugs into your Lightning port.
Okay.
But yes, my understanding is it will work with anything that supports a controller, which yes, one of the things they advertise is you can also use this for the in-home streaming from Xbox and PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I'm going to try out.
Used that with my yeah, I have an Xbox controller I bought specifically to pair with the Apple TV and the iOS devices, and I don't use it that much, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I don't know how much I'm going to use this in the long run, but I thought it looked intriguing and I wanted to kind of get my hands on it. And maybe I will, after I'm done playing with it, maybe I'll send it off to you to try out. But it's a fun idea. It does make my iPhone 12 mini that I've been using, you know, kind of a questionable choice because it's so much smaller. Yeah, it's more compact though. It's like it all slides, it just slides closer together. So it's just that much more compact. That's all.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. You know, portable gaming system. I've mentioned this frustration before, but it's definitely frustrating when you try to use an app that it could benefit from joystick controls and doesn't use them. Like, you know, we've been playing a lot of Among Us, and that doesn't have either keyboard or controller support on iOS. And it's like, those would both be really useful. Oh, well. Thanks for not building them in.
Mm.
But cross-platform, I think, sometimes means they don't spend as much time optimizing for these various, especially on mobile. Yeah. Yeah, I don't play. I haven't been playing a lot of games on my iOS devices, really. I was thinking that the other day as I saw Apple releasing its lists of like the best apps of the year and stuff like that. And I was thinking to myself, what was the last game I played on my iOS device? And I struggled to come up with anything other than Among Us, which is the last. I downloaded something the other day that looked kind of cool, and then I kind of petered out after playing it for like 20 minutes. I was like, nah, it's not really for me.
Yeah, I hear that. I have some stuff that I'm playing occasionally, but that's why I wanted to try this, actually, is that there's a whole category of games that I've tried that I'm like, you really need a controller for this. And so I thought I would try it. We'll see. All right, well, you know, another week, another month. But we'll be back.
I mean, almost the last month.
Almost.
We're getting close. We only got three episodes left for 2020.
Yeah, actually, one of the big questions that came up before we go that is a question is, what are we going to do? Christmas and New Year's are on Fridays this year.
Yeah.
What sacrifice will Kalandar demand from us?
Yeah, I know my Christmas day is just packed with all the family obligations. No, wait. It's going to be very quiet.
Yeah, but
we'll find some time.
Yeah.
We'll find some time at some point.
I think that's probably right. I was going to say we could just take them off. Imagine that. But we could also just do them on a different day.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally
flexible.
What am I thinking? All right. So, but
Kalandar understands these things. Kalandar has many commitments of time and space.
Okay. Well, that's a positive way of thinking of our cruel overlord. But we've got a couple. Yes. Episodes before we have to worry about that, so we'll worry about that later. Thanks to everybody out there for listening and supporting Six Colors. We appreciate it, and we'll be back next week because Kalandar, the cruel bug-like overlord who controls us, demands it. But until then, bye Dan,
bye Jason.